You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the cool again, stupid.
Hey, now we're live, baby. We figured out how to turn all these things on. Google is your friend. You know, YouTube. Shouts to YouTube that we're live on right now. I had to Google, how do you do YouTube Live on YouTube Live?
See, this is what happens when Christian has a baby. Yeah, he's clearly the tech support.
Well, Christian forgot about his other baby, me. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice you heard, the one, the only, Christine Kubo, everybody. You hear the applause?
Oh, I hear the applause.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like, wow, that was really, really minimal fanfare.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Better. If you don't know that it's very low so that you don't pick it up in the mic, you just think I hit a button and nothing happened.
I'm like, is this where I get ejected out of the seat?
But yes, obviously, Alexis Miguelito's here with you.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Cooligans.
Come on now. we'll be doing the show. It's been a crazy week. We should probably put this on the actual pod.
Yes.
Christian had a baby, bro. Like a full-on baby. Can you switch? Can you show us the baby?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me pull up the picture. Sorry.
No.
Keep going.
Yeah, dude. I mean, what?
We're like, no, we're waiting for Mateo.
Yeah, this is where Christian would yeah, Mateo Aiden Polanco. I said, I know your mother can pronounce Mateo. But how is a Dominican woman going to say Aiden?
Yeah, Aiden's going to be a tricky one.
That's a very...
It's going to be interesting one.
Mateo Aiden. What you doing in Slack,
I'm trying to find this picture. Where did you pull it up,
let me find the chat.
No, bro. Yeah, let me find it. Here, it's on Instagram.
It's on Instagram? Yeah.
Yeah. My guy's in Slack. Shouts to everyone in the chat, by the way. We see y'all. It's about time, bro, that I started that Christian had a baby because it's 9 months. Everybody knows it's 9 months.
Look how cute he is. He's already mean mugging. Like, how dare you
baby.
Wake me?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, ew, bro. Enough with the photo shoot.
He's perfect.
He Can you guess which hand is whose?
Look at the little cheeky.
Is the left Helene's?
Aww.
Look at Christian crying. Aw.
That's so adorable.
Yeah, that's that. That's when the baby just came out, too, because it's got, like, the smudge on its face.
The smudge.
I'd be like, yo, that's beautiful. Could we clean it real quick?
1:16 a.m. What an April Fool's entry.
Dude, really slid in. 7 pounds, 11 ounces, 20 inches, which is, I've had burritos that size. I don't think I've ever seen a human. Is that big? Is that big for a baby? Do we know anything about babies?
You're asking the wrong person. I'm not sure. Like, I just like to like coo at them. And
yeah,
like,
I'm not a baby person, so I can't tell if that's good or not, bro.
I didn't read up on pediatrics before I came in. I didn't know.
Someone said it took 9 months for Alexis to figure out how YouTube works. That's Kyle Ritchie. We were almost a little later. CBS Serie A weekdays with the Cooligans. That's right. We've got Christine Kubo here.
The Italiani.
Right? Multiple CBS family members here now. This is beautiful. Yeah, congrats once again to Christian and Helene. Dude, I got to get him another gift. How does this work? If I got him a baby shower gift, do I have to get him a birthday gift?
I usually do. Or at least like hit Helene with something dope because like she really did all of the actual labor.
Right. You know,
so
Christian might
like
tell
a
differently.
Spa day.
Christian's like, yeah, she pushed, but I was like, go, you know? Yeah, kind of what I would do. You know, I'd be like, I know baby girl getting all the credit.
We just have to make sure they have all this, like the actual like footy gear first, right? So like tiny little ball. We got it. There's a plushie. I usually buy, it's like my first soccer ball.
Oh, so that's the size of the gift? Like, cause for the baby shower, I think I got the car seat. I'm pretty sure I got the car seat.
So for this,
I get something a little small.
Yeah, you can get him a plushie.
Maybe a gift card.
To start on his way.
A gift card or something like that. Bye bye baby.
Oh, yeah, because they're probably going to need more baby stuff that they didn't think about.
Diapers and things that you can't really buy.
Baby gap?
If you hit them with diapers from jump, that baby's going to grow and go through them so fast, they probably won't use all the first size of diapers. So gift cards are always helpful.
You love
as a
so
non-baby
much.
Expert. But, yeah.
I'm going to get him an Amazon gift card. That's less work for me.
They just smash the button.
Yeah, I smash the button. Now you smash the button. You
now
get
we
it
all
immediately.
Smashing buttons.
You know what? You prime now, baby. Mateo, you prime. I got you. Absolutely incredible. Thank you for everyone for hanging out with us. Can we skip Napoli talk today, Alexis? No. The answer is no. We got to talk about it. Because I thought this was it. We'll talk about it in a second, but this wasn't the game that would have won them the Scudetto, right?
No, but right now I feel like they're just doing this like delayed gratification thing with us.
Oh, like Sting used to do. Remember that? Took them 14 hours to insert something I really shouldn't say in the first 10 minutes of a YouTube video.
The proper terminology might be edging.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Is that, what is that? Mateo, what are our thoughts on that? Trump mugshot is trending in front of us. There's a lot going on. All right.
There's too much going on, but guys, there's plenty going on in football.
Yeah, does this show sound anything like when Christian's here? Because I have an idea. Oh, someone, Board Martin said I should get him a baby-sized Blangola jersey.
Oh.
That's a great idea.
We're going to have to put together some Blangola merch at some point in the near future.
Yeah, we got
the People's Republic of Blangola.
Yeah, dude. We got. You know what? Maybe we'll just make him the Prince of Blangola, bro. We can do this. I can do whatever I want.
Okay.
All right. First on today's subject, obviously, once again, welcome to the Cooligans. Christian's not going to be here for a little while, until that baby latches onto him. You know what I mean? Is that how that works? I don't understand. Again, just had a baby. Shouts to Mateo Aiden Polanco. Welcome to the world. Newest member of the Cooligans. You better hurry up. You've already got responsibilities because I don't know what I'm doing. But obviously, the first thing we got to talk about today is Graham Potter finally getting sacked. Right? Or is
finally.
It?
Well,
or
I
did
mean,
he not get enough time?
Could argue that, but Chelsea are in 11th, right?
Not looking good. Worse than when he got hired.
Back to Tuchel, right? Mm-hmm. Who got canned just over a year and a half into his tenure,
mm-hmm.
having already won 3 trophies. One being Champions League.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you say it like that, it seems like it was a bad choice to fire Thomas
Tuchel.
Perhaps.
But again, different ownership,
yeah.
right? So I also don't think that they would have broke the bank to hire Potter when they did to replace Tuchel.
Right.
Because they reached deep down in those money bags for him. And his history as manager just really didn't align with the overall club vision and otherwise. So what were they doing from jump? I feel like Chelsea have done a lot of really wild things. I'm not mad at them.
It's kind of their history, but right?
Yeah. I think that now that we have, Todd Boehly and gang in there, they're trying to make the right moves. But is this the right move right now?
Well, we have a Chelsea fan, unfortunately, in here. What do we think? You had said that you thought Miguelito, obviously, is who I'm talking to, our very Latino producer, super Latino. Well, you can't see him, but it's basically like a Puerto Rican flag walking around here.
I think it was Elias Gonzalez you called me on the first day.
what are your thoughts on the Graham Potter tenure?
It feels like there wasn't a full plan to begin with when they sacked Thomas Tuchel. You know what I mean? Todd Boehly came in. He clearly wanted to make an impact in the beginning. He's done that with spending enough money. The fans are happy
right.
with that.
The dude bought you everybody you wanted.
No doubt. And
right,
so it's,
but you spend all that money, right? That, so you got what in this transfer window? It was something like 330 million euros dropped.
I think it was 600 million.
I think
jeez.
All in, yeah. And you're an 11th.
Yeah.
So if the money isn't effective and the management isn't effective, counter, right? And granted, nothing was really working out, but when you look at the fact that he was, 7 months on the job, and they mm-hmm. say even outside of world football, corporate America and otherwise, like your first 6 months kind of dictates where you're going. This man got one extra spared month. And I mean, it's you can argue either way. I understand the frustration of Blues.
I think there's multiple issues. There's the ownership issue, and then there's the coaching issue. Graham Potter was very clearly out of his depth. Almost
right.
from the very beginning.
From jump.
From jump.
I don't think
almost
it's
from
even
the very
question.
Beginning.
I
he
think
never...
they made a weird selection.
Well, I'm glad you said that you think it's not even a question, because I'm going to suggest that maybe that's not true. That maybe he wasn't out of his depth. I think when you look at what he was able to do over at Brighton, he was able to get a team with not a lot of big names to play very well, which is kind of what Brighton does, right? That's kind of their standard. They buy very smart. These players, again, Mitoma, again, there's like a string of players. Cucurella, right? There's a lot of these players that are playing.
Man's got amazing hair.
Incredible hair. He's not using it right now or what's inside of it, what's underneath it. But they get these players to play completely sort of above their level, and obviously managers as well, and then they kind of move on, and we don't always see the best from them when they move on, right? Ben White, right, a great player, goes to Arsenal. I know he did a stint at Leeds, which is where really I thought, you know, Arsenal picked him up. But most of the time, you get these players that come out of Brighton, and there's a little bit of a learning curve once you get out of Brighton, and maybe the same thing with the manager. But I do want to point out, Arsenal was teetering on sacking Arteta early on. He got saved by the FA Cup, which I think bought him enough time, and look at what he's doing now. And that's the question, right? Is this too soon?
I think it depends on if the underpinnings, as they claim, right? Because some of the reports that came out were essentially that from jump, Potter and Chelsea, as front office and otherwise, they just didn't have the same vision for the club. There was no alignment. And so I guess they had hoped that over the last 7 months, that would kind of gel. They've spent money. They appeased him in whatever way they can. And it didn't come to fruition. And they're out of patience. Is just what I see. But I feel like with players all in, you either have big fish, small pond with some of these smaller clubs, and they get to what could be essentially a major club, I guess. Well, we'll call Chelsea what they are for now.
For the moment, yeah.
Big-ish?
And big-ish, yeah, big-ish-esque. Yeah.
They've won every trophy you could possibly win.
They have, right? Yeah. They're just struggling right now. And so I would put them within that purview of big clubs. Sometimes you don't thrive coming from, say, a Brighton or otherwise. Learning curve.
Yeah. There were some real bright moments. I was at Chelsea. I was at Stamford Bridge when they beat Dortmund in the Champions League. And there were moments where I'm like, yo, maybe this João Félix thing is going to actually create like a real move here, you know, create something where like, yo, they're actually scoring. And then I'm like, bro, I mean, they just look dead against Everton.
Yeah.
And they had a string of bad games. They had three losses in a row.
Saturday was completely unacceptable. So they looked outclassed from the absolute beginning of that game.
It was a brutal one. I might send you flowers.
Thank you.
I apologize. Yeah.
Christian, you ain't getting the flowers for the baby. They're going to Miguelito.
They're
going to
say, like, it's a boy. Yeah. But, like, flowers, okay?
Congrats, yeah. Mateo.
They're blue. At least they're blue.
So now they're in the position of needing to find a new manager. And obviously Nagelsmann's been floated around as a name, recently ejected from Bayern.
Another manager that's been fired.
Right, which a week ago, right?
Right.
What a heck of a time on the sofa for him. He's like, okay.
Still
I guess
getting paid.
Right, and that's what happens is most of these have a clause where it's like, if you don't take your next appointment,
right,
you continue to get paid out. Mm-hmm. So, God bless. What a vacation. I would love to fail up. I am aspiring to be Conte.
Yeah.
Catch me on my yacht.
He's doing some with that money because he took that Ryanair flight back. He's saving all of it. He's like, I'm not spending a dime I ain't got to spend, bro.
So now their other issue is right now their interim manager is Bruno,
yeah,
who
Bruno.
Has zero management experience. And not that I'm all schadenfreude on you guys, but I kind of like the entertainment value of knowing that they're looking down the barrel at a meeting with Don Carlo in Champions League.
Yeah.
I mean, I am, get your popcorn ready. I mean, anything can happen within the next week or two, but I really want to see that come to fruition for me, not for you, for me.
The way I look at the situation at Tottenham, and we can talk about this a little bit more at length, a little bit later in the episode, but you have like a couple of options in front of you, right? The most Spursy move, right? If I can say so, would be to try to get back with your ex in Pochettino.
And don't go back.
I'm going to give you a second here. Kupo, your girl texts you like, I don't know. I miss him. What would you say to Tottenham right now?
It couldn't have been that good.
Bro, Pochettino was a mistake then. And even though he did level you up, you've got to move past it. But they're in the exact same situation Everton were in when right before they hired Rafa Benitez, Carlo Ancelotti, which is an insane name to say managed Everton. When he left, remember, they were like, they got to hire a manager of that ilk, which was Rafa Benitez. It was the only one available, or else you drop back down to where they are now, like getting a Duncan Ferguson or whatever that guy's name was, Big Dunk, and guys like that. Tottenham is in that same situation. They go back to Pochettino. That's bringing you back down a level. Can you go after a Nagelsmann? Is there maybe too many issues there? Is he maybe, you know, maybe he's got a chip on his shoulder, right? Maybe that's
the
right guy.
Does he even want that job? Does he want to come off the sofa this quickly?
Bro, actually, you know who the most...
Do you want to go from Germany to England?
The most Tottenham-y manager for them to hire right now? Brendan Rodgers, bro.
I agree with that.
Would that not be the Spursiest of all?
That would be quintessentially Spursy.
But Levy might. You know why? Because he wants all the power. And you know, Brendan Rodgers will just be so happy to get another opportunity, he'll let you have it.
I think so. I think Brendan Rodgers would take that job. But I think Tottenham are still trying to go after Nagelsmann. We were talking about this a little bit last week before, right after Conte got sacked, before Chelsea sacked Potter. Tottenham was the one who was looking after Nagelsmann. So now it seems like Nagelsmann kind of has this decision to make. Do you want to go to a team that's in, you know, willing to spend a lot of money but is in complete disarray right now in Chelsea?
You're already sliding down the table.
Exactly. Yeah. Versus a little bit more stability, but maybe not, you know, the deep pockets that Todd Boehly has in Tottenham. So it'll be interesting to see what Nagelsmann wants and like what the clubs are willing to throw at him, you know, to try to lure him.
And the thing about the Chelsea hire, and obviously we got some great comments in the chat. Someone said I'm later than Alexis to the show today. Thank you, Robin. is Kupo full? Come on, you Spurs. No, she is very much an Arsenal supporter.
That I'm is only the saying meanest thing anyone's ever said.
Yeah. Did you see how much she laughed when I said Spursy, bro? Potter to Spurs might happen too. I can see that happening because it feels like Potter has something to prove. And Tottenham is in a situation where who do you hire now? Because whoever you hire knows you might lose Kane, you might lose some big names. Chelsea might be in a worse predicament to hire somebody right now too, because you've proven you don't keep someone for more than a year.
If I know April 12th, we are in the quarterfinal of Champions League with Bruno, what is his last name?
Saltero, I believe.
Yeah.
Saltero, and his claim to fame is essentially just being a really amazing, beloved Brighton player. Like, that's his spiel.
Imagine he's great.
I mean, imagine he is, right? Like the
Tom Brady thing? Yeah. Like, who's this guy? We don't know him. Comes in, he's the GOAT.
We don't know this guy, but, like, he suddenly comes in and just, like, crushes Real.
20 years from now, the three of us are staring at a statue in England. Like, damn.
That's April 12th, right? Yeah. So right now he's on the clock. We got about, like, a week plus for them to make an appointment.
It's not happening.
I mean, what do you do? I'd be sweating it out if I were Chelsea.
This is there's been so many, and we'll talk about that a lot more as the episode goes on. But there's been so many hires. If you look at someone like, so many managers getting fired. If you look at Potter, I assumed with 9 games left in the season, what's the point of firing him now?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't really gain anything, and like you said, there's Champions League coming up.
Other than a payout, right? Because there'll be overlapping payments because they will be paying Potter until he gets rehired. The only thing I'll say about Potter
about the money
is like,
at Chelsea.
No, but Potter being obviously not risk averse enough to turn down a job at Chelsea, I wouldn't see him saying no to Spurs. And Spurs are another precarious organization to get entangled with. All in.
Yeah, that's especially with
like you have to actually have some. I mean, no, that's
you have to love Spurs in order to want to work there, right?
I don't know. I don't know that Conte loved Spurs. I think that Conte loves a challenge.
Oh, I mean now.
Oh, but like
after
now,
Mourinho
oh,
went bad,
but just their entire history.
Conte went bad
with managers and otherwise. If we overlook the lack of trophies and everything else.
So hard to overlook.
So hard to overlook that.
You're an Arsenal fan.
I was going to say, we got 2 Arsenal fans and a Chelsea fan. I don't think anyone's overlooking Spurs.
Yeah. Spurs ain't going to get a lot of love on today's episode if you guys are hoping for that. Boehly is spending money and sacking managers faster than Roman ever did. He respects our history, says Mark Nichols. And that is to me a point I've made
multiple times. It's our heritage. Just sack your manager and keep it moving.
This is exactly what Chelsea is supposed to be, right? Quick trigger finger.
It's crazy, though, because when Todd Boehly bought the team, this was literally like the biggest thing that he was selling. We're not going to be Roman Abramovich. We're not going to be the team constant new manager every 2 years. We want to build a long-term project and... Look at where we ended up, right?
What he meant by I'm not going to be Roman Abramovich is I'm not going to wait as long as Roman did.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
even
getting
more
rid
ruthless.
Of these dudes right away, bro. That guy was slow to make change. Gavincho says Bielsa to Chelsea, which is interesting because Bielsa has already said no to Mexico. Mm-hmm. The Mexican national team wanted him and he has said absolutely not. So he's available.
I love Bielsa. I'm absolutely.
I'm a Bielsa-aholic.
I'm big bucket crouching man. I adore him, and I can't say too much negative about his acolytes because the managers that he's yielded
He developed an entire,
right. There's so many of them that are so effective that I'm like, take me, please, I beg.
To some degree, Arsenal and Mikel Arteta are from that tree.
Yes, they're all from that tree. Yeah. I had at one point did like a weird like decision map tree.
Just you had like the red string on the wall.
only because it's wild because you get deep in there and you realize the niche of the niche of the, and you're like, oh my God, that's also tied back to Bielsa. They're all playing some derivative of his system.
100%.
I'm a huge fan of his. I don't know that I'd wish that on him, though.
That's the other thing, too, is how much of a kind of an eccentric guy he is, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, he's wildly data-driven. If you remember when Leeds was told, what was it? There was something where, like, they did something illegal. They did something, and he came through with, like, a spreadsheet. I think they were taking other teams' kind of information.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think he was watching highlights or something, or maybe trainings.
Bill Belichick Jr., I believe. He was a little spygate on him.
Which, I mean, can't knock the hustle. Like,
no, listen, if you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing. You know?
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, dude. No one expected me to do a NASCAR reference here. But that's how we go. If you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing. Bielsa's supposedly going to Uruguay, but it hasn't been. Thank you, Board Martin. It hasn't been made official yet, which is perfect.
Bielsa would break Pulisic, not mentally, but physically.
Yeah, he did work with Jack Harrison, who kind of came through America, right? He came through MLS in the Berkshire School.
I think you're going to get, with any level of brilliant manager, truly, including Bielsa, you're going to get a little bit of that mania that is like a little bit like, you okay?
No, you know what I'd love to see? Bielsa to Tottenham, bro. Those two clashing?
He would really break those fans.
Bro, that would be fireworks, whether you like it or not.
Spurs fans might just actually self-immolate.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right. Now, normally we'd take a break, but we're going to keep going. But I do want to say, when I take a break at home, I don't know how you relax.
I don't relax.
You know, that's a good point. Yeah, I forgot you're from Jersey. Yeah, I also, but you know what I like to do? I like to kick back and relax. And how I do that is with a nice cold Coors Light. Because you know how you have to be on when you're doing stuff on camera? Yes. And it's a different, if people don't realize it, you get mentally exhausted when you've done something like this for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, right? I like to go home and
the jazz
hands,
they get daunting.
Bro, you know what? There's only so much wiggle I got, you know? I like to go home and I like to relax. And, you know, I don't got a lot of time.
That's a lot. That's a good point. Wiggle, baby.
Yeah, I got all the wiggle.
Poppy.
For me, when I want to relax, I don't want to have to think. You know what I mean? I don't have to guess. Is this beer cold enough? So I grab the can that tells you it's cold because a little mountain on there turns blue. What more do you want? The beer is literally made to chill, and I want to chill. So I grab a nice cold Coors Light. So don't forget, you could get it from Drizzly. You can get it from Instacart or wherever you shop, any store. You can get it from going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Huh? I was waiting for that's our natural reggaeton.
Come on. You got Who it, knew I would back. Remember all that?
We're back. That was off the top, right?
Without pulling this up, I actually remembered all that, which is not bad. Shouts to you, Coors Light. If you want one, we have some cold ones in the fridge.
I mean, I'm not going to drink warm beer. This isn't England. We're all civilized.
Right. Well, yeah, thank you. And we speak the language correctly. So obviously, with so much that's happening, we talked a little bit about Brendan Rodgers being sacked. We have a list of the 14.
One of them, some 14, crazy number.
I think Brendan Rodgers makes it 14 managers that have been sacked.
Big sacking season,
yeah,
bro. Genuinely. Like you're doing. What are those races? That white people do in movies.
Potato sack camps?
Yes.
I thought you meant in the movie theater. I was like, I've never seen white people.
You know how white people race in
You're
the
like,
movie
You know theaters? White people in the movies? And I'm like, I wasn't raised as white people, but I know what you're talking about.
Look, if you are Italian and from New Jersey, you are what I like to call light white. You're white on paper.
I feel like we're in the spicy white camp.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely vibe white. The first one is the first manager, Scott Parker at Bournemouth. How long ago was that?
August
I forgot.
30th, I believe, was the date.
Good God.
Who even remembers?
That was a really long, long time ago.
Good God. Thomas Tuchel, obviously, we remember that. Bruno Lage at Wolverhampton Wanderers. Totally forgot he was even
Steven
here.
Steven Gerrard.
Steven Gerrard got fired 4 years ago, not this season.
I don't even remember that. My memory is so shifty at this point. Villa, okay.
Who's Unai Emery is now their manager.
Yeah, now
that's right, Bella. The former Arsenal manager. I keep getting him and Lopetegui confused as to who they're managing.
Yeah.
They'll probably be sacked before the end of the season, one of them, so who cares? Frank Lampard at Everton, I remember that so much because it gave Christian so much pain.
Yep.
And yet brought me so much happiness.
Jesse Marsh. That was recent. That I remember.
Right?
That
also anti-American. Right? I think it's about time we talk about
Anti-American Activities Committee reestablished.
Right? Really rude. Now, Nathan Jones got sacked at Southampton. Who?
third manager of Southampton this season already, just like Chelsea. It's crazy.
Jesus.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah. That time has
gone so fast.
How bad you got to be to get immediately? Nope. That guy sucked, but you do too, bro. Patrick Vieira, obviously remember him. And now we're getting into the most recent, which it feels like per season, it used to be maybe three.
Yeah.
We're at 14.
I think, honestly, as the stakes get higher, and by stakes, I mean bags of cash.
Yes.
The patience for trusting the process has eroded, right?
You because can't. There's too much on the line.
Okay. So now, right now, this is probably not the best example. However, Liverpool not exactly thriving as they previously had, right?
Right.
But they were given all of the time in the world to get it together and be the team that they became.
Yeah, there were people calling, what do they call that? Talk Sport saying, this guy's a fraud. He can't win anything.
Right. It wasn't an easy go initially.
Champions League saved his job.
Right. And it all turned around from there. But it was very much trust the process. And I feel like that isn't a notion that's carried over into the 2022-2023 season.
No.
Especially in Premier League.
I feel like Mikel Arteta is going to be the last one that really got that long-term opportunity, even with the... And I mean, his results were never as bad as Graham Potter's were. Like, they never fell into, 11th or bottom half of the table. But I agree with you, Kubo. I think it's a lot with
the money.
We were
in last place at one point. But that was
early in the season, though. The transition from Arsene Wenger was going to be... It was always going to be a cliff. There was never going to
be a
seamless...
You need a rebound guy.
Right.
That was Unai, whether we like it or
and
not.
So no matter what, it didn't matter if you got... I mean, I don't even know who I would have proposed as a one-to-one for him. Like, he's placed in my brain in this category of superhuman managers
slash Moyes.
Dad.
Moyes didn't stand a chance because you were coming out of the Sir Alex Ferguson. How are you going to do better than that?
But
you
the need risk one person appetite to suck. For somebody to actually come in and take that job after that man is, God bless
for
you,
sure.
Because could not be me. Like, I wouldn't leave my home for months.
Right. Like, if you and your significant other get divorced, the next person has to be like a porn star in bed, like the thing you missed out on, but just a terrible person all around. So you could be like, okay, I kind of got that thing I thought I wanted.
See, I've done this in reverse apparently because I've only had insignificant others.
There you go. Yeah, you got to have a loved one, bro. But then you got to be like, all right, they were a good person, but they sucked in bed. Whatever the situation was, you go get the opposite and then you realize like, all right, I kind of miss... The other thing, you need someone to be like a complete opposite. If you fire a manager like Sir Alex Ferguson leaves, right? He didn't certainly get sacked. But if he's gone, you're not going to get somebody like that. Mm-mm. You're not going to get somebody who wins like that. So you have to go and get someone who's like crazy ideas. And David Moyes was destined to fail no matter what. So if Brendan Rodgers is the last one who got sacked, we skipped a couple. But when you look at people, who were we talking about before? We were talking about, you said three.
Southampton?
Yeah. Southampton.
They should have just played The Bachelor. Why did they even like hire and fire people in succession? Just like get everybody roses.
Well, this is what we're talking
everybody
about.
Everybody take a team. Everybody takes a weekend. You start working
on
Chelsea. You start.
I was going to say, this is what we're talking about with Chelsea. It's almost like, who can you even name the Southampton manager off the top of your head right now? I don't know who it is, personally, off the top of my head.
Not off the top of my head.
Okay,
I mean,
exactly.
I can look down
and
tell you.
But that's my point. Is like, is
but also,
there
who gives a shit? They're in 20th
place. That's
what
I'm saying. You got the third guy of the season.
They're about to be a memory.
Got the third manager of the season. It's kind of the same question that we're asking about Chelsea. Is it even worth it to go get a big name right now or just let Bruno finish the rest of the season?
I mean, Miguelito, ¿qué tal? Like, what do
yeah,
you...
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You heard me, right? Like, Carlo Ancelotti April 12th.
But we're going to get smacked anyway.
I feel like you had no faith whatsoever.
Not against
You don't
Real
think
Madrid.
There's going to be like a,
Real Madrid in the Champions League manager is a bump.
I know, but I mean, dare to dream, right? Like,
my biggest hope for Bruno is that he doesn't really do much and the players were like, oh, you know what? We were really good before we got here under Graham Potter. Let's just go and do that again and maybe figure it out that way. But I'm not too optimistic, honestly.
I think firing him now is a mistake. Only because you have that Champions League. I get the overlap and I get some of these other things. But yeah, you got embarrassed. You have to, first of all, you're not going to find someone now to want to take over the last and then maybe muddy up their name.
Right.
With these bad
You're not
going
to have enough runway on right. that tarmac mm-hmm. to like get that plane landed.
And also, doesn't Chelsea have to sell players because of financial foreplay?
Yep.
What am I still talking about?
Financial foreplay. We started with edging. We're now on to financial foreplay.
Yeah, they've been doing financial foreplay this whole time. So what I'm saying is they got to go out and get a porn star. You feel me? the show is, again, if Christian's listening and or watching, see, nothing changes.
I'm so sorry, Christian. Because, I tried.
Yeah, she's been trying. I just think it's one of those things where you look at this sea of managers, like even Leicester, what do you win by sacking him?
Right.
You need to bring someone in that's going to stop you from continuing to slide. I don't know if that's possible.
Well,
Leicester look like a team that's going to, they're what?
They're in the relegation
zone.
They're
in 19.
Right. Yeah. So.
But then
perhaps
again, I mean,
with
one
some of those
win.
Teams, do you pull the plug sooner, right? I mean, how many games is going to take for you to dig yourself back out is the question, right?
They like, waited too long.
They waited. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you're that deep into it already, where you're staring down the barrel at relegation, you probably should have sacked the guy sooner.
Which I don't think
give
Leicester,
somebody else more time, but Leicester, I'm sure that they thought that it was a good idea that Brendan Rodgers should have been solid, but unfortunately it doesn't always play out as well as it should on paper.
And also they're in a situation where they're not good enough to survive this drop and come right back up.
Mm-hmm.
There's players on that team. Like I'm thinking like guys like Iheanacho might not want to stay.
No.
There's players on this team that will not be there.
Yeah, Yuri Tillemans gone 100%.
Yeah, Yuri's gone for sure. Probably for cheap, which is good mm-hmm. if you're Arsenal or some of the other teams. you look at players like Vardy. Vardy got to walk away.
Yep.
You ain't going to play again. He might stay for vibes, but he ain't good enough.
I forget
for the
that
championship.
Vardy still plays sometimes. Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
I think so does he.
honestly, now his wife kind of trumps
his fame
because right? no day on the internet is going to ever be better than
God bless,
like,
..
Yep.
was the best.
Rebecca Vardy.
Oh. I'm looking like...
Rebecca Vardy.
How do you pronounce his first name? Chalgar Soyanchu?
Yeah, Chalgar Soyanchu.
Bro, nailed it.
He's gone.
He's gone?
Yep.
That's a good defender. He's gone.
Ricardo Pereira probably leaving.
Who?
Ricardo Pereira probably leaving.
Ricardo Pereira got to go. You know, I could see Vestergaard staying. I could see Amarte... possibly getting a move. Yeah.
There's going to be a clear out, though. No.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are... James Maddison, gone.
Yep.
Wilfred Ndidi, gone.
It
Yuri
feels like,
Tielemans,
it
gone.
Feels like the end of this 2015-2016 Premier League title-winning era. You know, like, they were up, they had their insane run to the championship, and now it's kind of on the downside.
We'll remember you forever. Okay, now, Robert from L.A. paid $5 so that I would say this. Didn't Alexis get fired from his Wall Street job for financial foreplay and other things? wipe all that from your memory.
You know nothing. He's
it's all sealed.
Squeaky clean, like a whistle or whatever that saying is.
Sealed documents.
Expunged.
By the way,
redacted.
You didn't hear that from me. You didn't hear that. This is false. Never had a Wall Street job, thank God. And I was never fired. I was laid off. and they never found any they never looked back. And I think that division is actually closed, so I might be scot-free.
There you go, baby.
Let me ask
you a question, though. Do you think this particular season has made it more pressure on the club so that they're sacking managers early just because the bottom half of the table is so congested? Like, pretty much everyone from 13th to 20th is in the relegation fight right
You're
now.
You're one game away, like West Ham, from going from
literally
relegation to almost
13th
free.
Or 14th back to relegation.
Yeah.
Do you think that pressure, just based on how much parity there is in the league, is making these clubs, you know, make more changes, try to find a new solution at manager?
I think the tension that creates is a big part of it, but I think it's more of what Christine said, which is there's so much net money at stake now. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're literally trying to outspend each other in this weird... I want to see the club that decides to go the OG Moneyball route that just like you get to this like, hey, dude, he might have just gotten out of the state pen, but like,
yeah,
man's got a hell of a left.
Right,
like,
right. We got to delete a couple tweets, but the kid knows what he's doing on the pitch, you know?
Exactly that. But it's that they're trying to outspend each other, especially at the top of the table. And for those that can fight, right, they are. Like, you're seeing a Liverpool squad that Klopp has helmed that has done remarkably now sinking into eight.
Yeah.
So I think that we're seeing a few anomalies that are due to that heavy spend at the top. It's like you, and obviously this is an argument that's going on across leagues at this point, just in general. But, you know, at what point is the spend killing the game? And at what point are we going to see that within Premier League so heavily concentrated where there's less and less competition among clubs?
And you have to keep up. Yeah. That's the other thing, too. Now, you have to buy. You have to constantly refresh, which I think to some degree Liverpool are at fault for not refreshing enough. You know, still trying to hold on to guys like Firmino. And I know they do some really smart buying. You know, Hakpo, I'll wait to see. You know, part of me right now thinks he may be a little bit out of his depth, speaking of out of their depth, but I want to give him a chance. But guys like, you know, Bobby Firmino, you shouldn't be depending on this guy.
Jordan
still.
Henderson, definitely.
Jordan Henderson, definitely, at least a season out of his depth. You know, and the thing is, you have to sell when they finish being good. You have to get rid of them. Or good enough for you. Freddie Alacon says, Alexis was never fired. He was involuntarily dismissed. It was a mutual decision. They all got together and decided. Cliff Sakazone said, Newcastle buying Chris Wood just so he didn't score for Burnley last season is a great example of Kupo's point. Chris Wood, gone already. That was a terrible purchase. That's already terrible anyway. Signing.
Kupo with the Harvard Business Review part two. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm going to reference back to the Hey Italian Florence Pugh comment. So that way it balances it, right? Like,
yes.
I didn't just come to be like, oh, yes, let's talk money.
Yeah.
Like, hey, she kind of vaguely resembles Florence Pugh. Cool. But should I get my nose pierced?
We will talk money, though. Who fires the president of Blangola? Nobody. It's a bit of a dictatorship. I'm not going to lie to you. I can only fire myself. FSG tried to do that American franchise coasting. Soccer doesn't reward coasting, says Del Boy. And by the way, hey, you know what? Round of applause, Del Boy. You made a comment without disgusting the rest of the chat. And what a
fun. Is that usually keeping aspirational for this individual? Del Boy goes in.
Yeah, Del Boy apparently be texting with a freak.
He let us know last week.
Gets him all going. And then he gets in the chat with that energy. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Yeah, man. Stop sexting when you're listening to Cooligans. I think Brendan Rodgers is, you know, funny enough, if they do get relegated, probably the perfect manager to take over the team and get it back up. It's just a real shame.
Come back to the championship, Brendan.
Yeah, it's a real shame.
Get it back up. Yeah. Oh, my.
But Leicester City might be one of those teams that pulls the leads, and we don't see them back up there for a long time.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well, now their fans are going to clip this when they come back up next season.
They're
going to
be like, hey, we got the receipts. We're going to be like, hey, we were just joking. We were playing.
Here's a genius move. Hire Vincent Kompany right now.
Wow.
Player manager.
Right? You are ready. Now it's a promotion. You're going up to the Premier League, which he could just wait 9 games. but they go up. They are instant, right? I believe
Berlin,
they're...
Yeah.
They're still first?
They're in first by a decent amount.
Bro, and then you get him back in the championship, and he already knows how to get a team up for the champion. If he can make Burnley, you know, play non-Brexit ball... I mean, that's impressive enough.
Is that the benchmark now?
Yeah, dude.
You
they
can
were
make
playing.
Burnley do a thing.
But Burnley is like, you know, that's like getting Cleveland to smell good, you know? It's impossible, bro.
Wow, Cleveland catches straight.
Took it straight for no reason. Cleveland,
good people
hate to
of
do
Cleveland.
It
I'm so sorry.
I've already said I love cities that smell like pee, okay? So you good in my heart, Cleveland.
Welcome to the epicenter. Can't wait for our first warm day.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the...
The other
results.
Teams that are happening?
Yeah. <'Cause> bro.
There's someone other than Chelsea, like 5 minutes, guys. What, 25 minutes? Got it. Miguelito.
We're on top of this. I have no idea what's happening. Manchester United versus Newcastle. What an incredible, and we will talk about City, we will talk about Arsenal, but what an absolutely incredible game. It was back and forth. It was everything you would hope for, unless...
Unless
you're wearing a red shirt, or your name has a number in it. Shouts to Ten Hag, bro. Look, personally, I thought this was a great game, and I think this showed some of the issues that United have in particular.
You they mean cannot it's not beat, just desire?
Yo, they cannot win a top six match, bro. They've taken nothing but L's against the teams in the top six.
Okay, but hear me out. I have a theory. It's unfurling in my brain right
I like
now.
This.
Okay?
Early. Hold on, let me give it.
Could it be that maybe there's a Carabao Cup curse that's befallen United because they have not won a game since they won that cup? They have not.
Because they celebrated, you think?
They have not scored a goal since they won that cup.
Yeesh.
So maybe they need to burn some sage and have a seance because, yeah, factual. That was February.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I mean, we did talk about this, Alexis, when it happened. Like, was the celebration too much? Is it kind of, you know?
I don't know.
Is
this kind of the celebration or?
Well, not like the celebration, but is like the celebration more, you know, representative of their mindset? Exactly.
How do you switch that off? Exactly. How do you celebrate?
All I'm saying is it's April and midfield's abysmal.
Right.
Desperately missing Casemiro. They need to just duct tape his body parts together and get him back out there. I don't know. But honestly, and
Casemiro being a massive loss, but also he's 30-something years old, 33, 34?
Also a fair argument, right? Like if they're relying on a 34-year-old Casemiro to pull them from the depths of hell,
yeah,
you probably have other issues. But I just think it's interesting that Ten Hag's comments were largely focused around things that Southampton, or Newcastle rather, admin decided to just like subtweet aggressively.
The admin
was
came
like,
in
they
hot.
They can't handle the pressure, and they're like, how's this pressure?
Right.
And then it's like, hey, they had more desire, and it's like, no, bro, you selected players like you were playing like pin the tail on the donkey and then made weird substitutions.
Here but we also, go. Scott
like,
McTominay
where's the accountability
good?
For him, though?
Scott McTominay scored two against Spain.
Yeah.
How is it that he looks good in Scotland, bad with United?
And obviously, I mean, he wouldn't be the first Prem player to absolutely like crush international duty, right? Like our beloved, well, my beloved, I won't speak on your behalf, but like Ramsey, who never lets up for Wales, is literally their number 10,
right?
Electrifying, whereas like at Juve, not
that's a problem.
Great,
because at Arsenal, he was great.
Yeah,
Juve stunk it up, but that's a good check. That's a good check and a good city to live in. But you look at, you were showing some of the tweets. Newcastle was like, oh, pressure? There's boom. Here, look, calm under pressure right here. Bruno Guimaraes looking pretty good. And this was to me, this match was the moment where you're like, okay, this is player and system versus player and system. One for one, the players at Newcastle seemed, for a lack of a better term, the way they say it, more well-disciplined, well-drilled in their system.
But also, like, they seem like they enjoy each other.
Yes.
United players do not seem like the vibe is off.
Yeah,
bad
and it does. And they also seem so, the defenders look like they only hang out with the back line. The midfielders only hang out with each other. And then there's the forwards. There's not a unification. And I do think there is something to be said about celebrating something mid-season and then having to piece it all together again. You know, and having to get back to the, you know, it's hard to tell someone who just popped bottles, you know, on the top of a double-decker bus that, like, no, we're underdogs again. You just won something.
Right.
So not to bring this back up, but sometimes you need delayed gratification, right? We were talking about this before, right?
You need it to all delay. Goes back to edging. Oh,
you
know,
man, you got to edge a season a little bit. You know what I mean?
You can't give the people what they want.
No.
Not now.
Twice in a row? No, too difficult.
Or once since February?
But you got a team like Newcastle that's playing for something. They're trying to get into that top four. Yep. They've come all the way back from nearly being relegated over a season ago to now. Look at this. They're climbing. So to some degree, I hate to say they wanted it more, but it felt like that. Whereas you put it in a great sense. Ever since the Carabao Cup win, look, they've had some big wins against Real Betis. They won against Fulham in the FA Cup, but in the Premier League, they've been laying stinker after stinker, and it's a different level.
They really they've had what 14 away? Yeah, 14 away matches. They've conceded 29 goals.
Yeesh.
That's the current state of United. I feel like the last time I was here when I was substitute Alexis, I was also beating up on United, and this is becoming a trend now.
Well, that's part of that 14 goals.
Do I like this?
Well, you were here after they lost 7-1, so I think it was appropriate.
Wait, is it me? 7-0. Am I the drama? Like, I'm the problem here.
Are we the baddies? they took a massive L against Liverpool. You mentioned 14 goals. I mean, 7 of them came from one team.
Yeah.
And again, I watched that with Lawrence
14
McKenna.
14 matches, 29 goals conceded. That's a lot.
That's what it is, 29. I watched the 7-0 with Lawrence McKenna, who's a massive Liverpool fan. And the amount of stress he was feeling before that started, to like at halftime, he was like, do you want to go grab a bite? Like, he was like, I'm good. I feel like I've seen enough of this snuff film. You know what I mean? I don't have to watch the end of it.
I love that this episode is particularly focused. We've got to just like loop in kinks and various formats of pornography.
We're going to get to ASMR soon. And I think everything will be well-rounded. Well-rounded, like the porn star you're going to go get. Okay. I do love that DraftKings is going to listen to this and be like, so we're going to put this on our show.
But I do think, though, I have a hard time when analysts and otherwise kind of do this thing where it's like, oh, they didn't want it. Like, no professional athlete anywhere wakes up and is like, hey, you know what? Today I want to do my worst. Unless, of course, they're probably roped in on like some sort of
underbelly
like betting scheme sometimes. Yeah. But that's why like I just agree that sometimes we just don't talk about Bruno. Like on behalf of my United friends, I'm like, that's my act of kindness.
Yeah. I won't bring it up so you don't gotta think about it. I'm trying to be good to you. Bruno
I'm trying
feels like-
to love you in your selected love language, and that is we don't talk about Bruno.
I would love. I think Bruno actually wakes up and thinks like, "How can I get more people to dislike me?" I honestly think
sometimes it does look like he plays like that. But I think for all purposes, no professional athlete is waking up and being like, "Hey, I don't feel like playing today." You just have an off day, and sometimes you can't steer out of it. I don't think that. Yeah, like desire is there, but come on, like you're going to tell me that one trophy back in February is going to derail your entire season? No, there's
also
other things at hand.
Outside
and
of the community shield,
it's not just desire.
Outside of the community shield, this is the least important trophy, right? Can we agree? Yeah, Carabao Cup?
100%.
It's good to win trophies. Tottenham can't win it. You know what I mean? Like, it's good to win trophies, but I think it's not. I don't think this is the one you celebrate. This is the one where you say, win, you know, get us into Champions League, win the Premier League, do something significant, and then we'll celebrate this win with the fans.
This was, though, Manchester United's first trophy in 5 seasons. Do you think it's just kind of like
Mourinho.
Mourinho won the Europa League.
Since he won the treble. Yeah, the treble. Community Shield, Carabao Cup, right?
Cup and Europa League.
And Europa.
Yeah, so, but maybe Manchester United is just, you know, this is a really big moment for a lot of these players who haven't experienced even like the modicum of success that, you know, the Carabao Cup represents.
Yeah, bro. But what you just said makes me think that, yo, United dusty now. If you celebrating the Carabao Cup.
I brought the data points. Okay? I'm not saying what you're saying, but if you happen to lead a horse to water.
Yeah. Yo, you dusty. That's what I'm saying. Can you pull up United's?
Yeah, let me find it.
Fixtures, because can they stay in fourth?
I mean, the greatest thing of this match is like Newcastle slid into third place.
Yeah,
which
so
is so
they're
funny.
They're both on 50, but Newcastle obviously up there with goal differential. If you want to know what the difference is, Newcastle's at 22, United is at 4, which is not good.
No, not for gripping a top 4 spot.
No, dude, you can't be at a +4 goal differential. Arsenal's at +43, bro. United City's at +45. How you going to be up there with a 4? You dusty, bro. All right, you could have just done Fatma, but all right.
Oh,
so that's all right. So the next one is Brentford on April 5th, right?
Yep.
Dude, Brentford sitting in 7th at 43 points. Clearly not gonna. They're not gonna advance past Manchester United. They're not gonna be able to hop them because United's at 50 points. But this might be the one that gets them above Brighton. So I feel like Brentford, strong team. Ivan Toney not going into the clink just yet. You know what I mean?
You know? Speaking of betting,
yeah.
I'm like, wow, this all loops in so well. We didn't plan these little
just
segments.
The DraftKings, by the way. Ivan Toney, only person we would suggest not use it. But then they got Everton, which could be a tough match. Everton playing very differently under Sean Dyche. We're going to skip over the Europa games. They're going to go, okay, Nottingham Forest, another tough team who doesn't want to get into the relegation zone.
I mean, they've reinvigorated their entire squad.
Right.
I mean, mostly due to contracts being up. But when they said, we hit that promo, like, bro, woo, I respect it.
Bro, my wife, the other night I was out with a friend and her boyfriend and my wife and the four of us, and we're just getting drinks. And one of them said, like, oh, did you know there's a 99% off discount code for some fancy website that sells, like, high-end shoes? And immediately the two women just got ba-ba-ba-ba on their phone. And my wife's phone was, like, having a problem connecting to the Wi-Fi. So I just handed her mine, and I said, baby girl, do your worst. My Apple Pay's
Apple
on
Pay's
there.
Lit.
So
hey.
She did four orders on this website, and she just kept putting the phone in my face to qualify for the thing. And, bro, at four orders, she got, like, a couple $1,000 worth of stuff for, like, $25.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff was canceled because they ran out, like it sold out. But for them, I think I got credit $3.70.
There you go.
Like, it's been crazy. That's what Nottingham Forest did.
Yes, basically. Yeah,
they found out that there was some influencer, discount code, and they went ham. And I thought these orders would get completely canceled. Like, all right, you got us. They're like, nah, we'll send it to you. You got us. You good. It's kind of crazy.
Nothing came in the right quality that they wanted it, though. It still hasn't looked good.
No. I have a feeling they're ordering the same thing from Wish.com. They're like, you're going to get a shoe, but it's not the one you think you're going to get. United, obviously, then they play. Chelsea got postponed.
Spurs.
They play Tottenham. New manager, possibly, by then?
I think that's the only other team. So, yeah, Brentford and Tottenham are the only teams they haven't played. And I guess more recently lost to.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Tottenham is
the
right behind
them. The new frontier, right.
49 points versus 50. Tottenham is trying to stay in the top four. And with a stadium that beautiful, I mean, you kind of got to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't not be in Europe. All shade aside, Tottenham, I wouldn't consider them a big club in the sense of the top six, top five. But they're a club that are on their way. They have probably the most beautiful stadium, possibly Europe, definitely in the Premier League. They definitely need to keep that stadium in a European competition, without a doubt. But you look at a game against Tottenham, that's another team that could really pick them apart. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy.
If they have a good day, it'll be an easy feast for them.
Yeah,
I
don't think Manchester United is safe against any of these teams. Anyone? It seems like anyone can really beat anyone in the Premier League.
Aston Villa, bro, they're ninth.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're not competing against the crappy Aston Villa that can't get it together. This is a team that on a good day will absolutely destroy you.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, Villa just beat Chelsea. Not that that says much, but
again, Miguelito, I'm so sorry, bro.
You guys just rubbing it in at this point over here.
And then they got Brighton after that, which again is a tough team. They got West Ham after that, trying to survive. Wolves after that, trying to survive. Bournemouth after that, probably already cooked. That might be their easiest game. And then they got Fulham, which is, again, not going anywhere. I mean, they're in 10th place. These are not easy. Freddy Alacon said, I wouldn't put Spurs in the top of the bottom, on the top of the bottom five. All right. So, again, another Arsenal fan.
I mean, aspirationally and just spiritually, we wouldn't do that. But Tottenham right now are in fifth, and they probably, I mean, no, I'm not going to say anything.
Pedro Navas says Nottingham Forest have the Old Navy shopping cart mad full. They're doing a lot. They're getting a lot of graphic tees. You know what I mean?
They did a good job with the graphic tees, though. I mean, I don't know. Not Old Navy.
They're doing all right. Yeah. I was going to say.
I'm like, Old Navy bad. Forest, good.
Yeah, yeah. You ain't shopping at Old Navy. Stop. Unless you need a fleece and you're in another city.
I don't remember if I've ever shopped at Old Navy.
Oh, I definitely. Your boy used to buy them denims. Bro, they're like, yo, why does this feel like sweatpants after one wash? Mad quick. Travel football fan said, if you use Rakuten, then you get cash back from your online shopping or Amex points, too. All right, are we doing an ad for Rakuten?
You're like, what's happening?
Dude, when I saw that on the Barca kit, I was like, what is this? I thought it was like some Spanish, you know, oil company or something.
Yeah, I still don't know. Yeah. It's like one of these
influencer places where, like, you buy through them at regular stores.
I just
and they
something.
Give you cash back.
Look at that. I had no idea.
Bro,
I just figured.
Terrible name also.
Obviously, that means that perhaps the sponsors on shirts are not as effective as they think, because I watch a million hours of football every week and I still had no idea what that was.
Oh, so I'm going to need confirmation on what this means. Crimson Pizza said, y'all keep changing the time on me. I missed future platinum record selling artist Christine Kupo. I'm sure you met recording artists. What is this reference?
So kind. So this is obviously someone that is aware that I have been doing a vocal workshop for the last few months.
Oh.
So I've been singing, but I sang as a kid, but like choir chorus.
Yeah.
Where they also coincidentally taught us corresponding sign language for these church songs, which is a totally other
so you know how to sign language El Shaddai?
Certain things I do know, but I decided to get back in it just for fun. But the absolutely wacky part of it is it's like me and like seven other like Broadway people and like Broadway hopefuls. So like they are like going
they're
to
really
auditions
going
and they're like, let's go. And we're like, let's harmonize. And it's like, ah, like
well,
we
actually
just
can sing.
Look at that.
But yeah, so it's fun for me, but I'm still trying to get my vocal coach to choose something that's not, he picks all these like very like bippity boppity too happy Broadway tunes. And I'm like, no, man. Like,
you're like, have you heard of Adele? Give me someone who's broken up.
Right? Like, or, you know, any of the Chicago soundtrack, because I'm into that. But we were singing Wonderwall this last week, which is probably why they picked up on that, because we were
very
doing
nice
harmonies and melodies. And I was like, hey,
bro,
how about I talk to you about soccer now? And they were all like, huh?
Yeah,
and I was
yeah
like, you know, Minnesota United. And
yeah, this is also the city song. And they're like, we don't know what
exactly.
Song
I'm like, you
what
know,
city?
The Gallaghers. And uh-huh they're all like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I'm the weirdo. In this
bro, when you
song
drop the single, you got to come back on the Cooligans, bro. It's going to be crazy.
Well, you might need someone to eventually sing the anthem for Blangola.
Yes, the Blangola National Anthem.
We're putting it all together first.
Right. So you'll sing the Rough Riders anthem, which is what we were going to do.
They're
use
just like giving me several different jobs in the chat. They're like, yeah, double duty as the queen of Sedea and the queen of music. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you
I'm
have to now be the
now
art czar.
Florence Pugh's stunt double.
Yes.
Call me, Florence. We look nothing alike, but I'll take it because you are actually beautiful.
Crimson Pizza says you were spreading the Calcio gospel at the rehearsals.
I really just, yeah, it's bad. You don't want to be around me for too long. It's bad when you're the weirdo among the theater kids. Like, I'm like, let me talk to you about football. Yeah. And they're like, you're so cute.
Yeah. Just to Cynthia Ohio, who said Old Blavy, which is, again, thank you for paying attention. Obviously, look, we can talk about the Napoli Milan, but first I do want to bring up Arsenal continuing to keep pace with City. And it feels like Arsenal, still not getting the respect that they are this good. Some people are starting to talk about it now. There's 9 games left in the season. At some point, you got to say that you got to be as afraid of us as teams are, or you got to be as afraid of Arsenal as teams are afraid of City. No?
Yes.
Because we're putting it on these teams.
I honestly think that some of us Gooners are also contributing a little bit because
we don't want to say
right
the thing
like kind of gripping
happen
tight quietly right to right our Arteta posters
right
being like, please just take us home to the promised land, because you know, like 2020 FA Cup was our last trophy, and then prior to that it was the Invincibles, and you know, it is a little bit dare to dream, but at this point they are actually that good. It's just now getting through these matches, right? So
right
the magic number for Arsenal right now, I think, is 95. 95 points, sealed and done deal.
I mean, we're
right
at 72.
So,
I thought we'd be able to get to 100 this season. And obviously what you meant is
we have 9
the last
matches
time we won
to
the
go
Premier League was the
yes
Invincibles.
Yes. So 9 matches to go, win 8, obviously, of the 9, and it's a done deal lock.
Can we do that? Click on Arsenal here. I want to see what the rest of the schedule looks like. Because, fixtures. And then, look, Liverpool, a winnable match, right? We're away. It's Anfield. That's going to be tough. They don't win at home. I've said West Ham could be easy. Southampton should be easy. We never make it easy.
I think April 26th will be a definitive match.
Those 3 matches in 10 days, April 26th, April 29th, and May 7th, that's going to be – did that get moved? No, that should all right. That should be 10 days, right? I'm not going to do the math. I'm just not going to do it. City away at City, home to Chelsea, away at Newcastle. That right there, that's got to be the season. But really, City gets a 6-point swing if they beat us there. Let's assume we win at Newcastle, we win at West Ham, and we win at Southampton. We're now at 75, 78. We're now at 81 points, mm-hmm, right? Walking into City, assume City is, again, 8 points behind us or 6 points behind us.
Yep.
Right? No, they're eight. Sorry, eight they're points 8 points clear behind at the top. Us.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'd be at what? 74? They'd be at 74, we'd be at 81. No, they'd be at 75,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, dude. Math is not my thing.
Again, Alexis did not work in finance.
No. So if they win that game against us, we miss out on a potential 3 points. They gain 3 points. It's not necessarily a 6-point swing, but in the grand scheme of things, it is. Because now we have to keep pace with five, which means that they are one more win, and then we lose away from making it a one-game a game thing. Which, if you look at the way this this is lays out, can you scroll down a little bit?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't see another match where we could potentially drop points outside of that three-game window, right? FanXY said math is hard.
Yeah,
bro. Yeah. I'm not trying to do this on the fly.
You're like, I need a calculator. Yeah, I need my scientific
by the way, there's one in my
calculator.
Pocket. There's one on this computer, and I just refuse to use it. If you look at that, right, Chelsea could be, we don't know who they're going to be, but it looks like that should be an easy game. It never is, but it should be. Newcastle, really tough. You saw that when they played United. Mm-hmm. It looks like if we're going to drop a second or third match or drop points, I can't see it coming from Brighton. If we can squeak out of that three-match run with, what, 9 points obviously is, I think, kind of crazy to ask. But if we walk out of there with 7 points, bro, they're not catching up to us.
I mean, aspirationally, I'd like to see us win the rest of the season. But
sure.
I already had my heart broken for the last Man City match where I sat in like the eighth row. I could breathe in the grass.
Yeah.
And Arsenal lost. And I was like, this pains me. I flew all the way here for you to hurt me like this.
Yeah.
Just like a man.
And may I say, Arsenal's never lost while I've been in the stadium. But I guess, you know, when you're thirsty football.
You know, sometimes I think the universe just wants to humble me. It was like, hey, no, you don't get this yet. Fine, I guess. We'll wait till the end of the season. But
I thought that was gone because I was at the Bournemouth match. I was like, oh, man, they're going to lose a game. But then Reece Nelson was like, I got you, my G. I can't see them dropping points to Brighton. I can't see them dropping points. It would take a major injury for me to be worried about the Brighton, Nottingham Forest, or a Wolves match.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel like after
it's
the City
real.
Match.
I'm
yeah.
still not, again, like obviously I'm nervous because
we won't
can
say
happen,
it until there is a parade.
But yeah, you know? I mean, at that point I'll be losing my mind. I'll
yeah.
just, let's,
I'll
let's
be there.
Go. Like, that's I what I said. I have friends that are going back in the beginning of May and I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that with
no.
just like work commitments. But
because May 28th.
I want to be there yeah. so badly yeah. that like maybe I just plop myself down and who knows, like have everybody sign NDAs and just give me all the alcohol. Let's party.
All I can say is there's a reason why tickets for that Wolves match at the end of the season right now are being listed secondhand for $28,000.
Yeah, and they're trying to like crack down on that, which
20,000
good for
euros,
them.
By the way.
Arsenal themselves have sent out a few different like memos that are like, no, like
yeah.
we're not doing this. We know the demand's really high. We're trying to actually like snip that so that it's not an option for people to do that. So let's see how well they actually reallocate those tickets.
I got a better idea. Arsenal, put them up on the block yourself.
Yeah.
Make that money, yo. Get us another player. Bro, if there's...
Arsenal, send them to me.
If there's 60,000 millionaires who want to go to this game and pay 28K each...
Yeah.
Bro, I'll take that game day revenue.
Right?
Yeah. Bro, are you kidding me? I'll be an advocate for the club for one of those tickets. Bro, it could be, Pedro Nava said, edging towards the title. we're getting there. Definitely
I mean,
a delayed gratification.
Point, like, we might as well pitch to like Pornhub and be like, hey guys, we'll cover Arsenal if you. We'll make sure we work in every single terminology we can.
Yeah,
King
please.
Culture.
Please.
You mentioned though, Alexis.
I just like seeing you score. You know what I mean? Bit of a cuck in that sense.
You mentioned Alexis. Just that it doesn't feel like Arsenal's getting as much respect. Do you think it's because the title race is so close? Like in the past few years, it's been, oh, City is dominant. City is like way out and away. Or it's just City and Liverpool, they're dominant.
But there was a little bit thing there with City-Liverpool, right? There was like the question of like, can Liverpool actually do it? Arsenal's still getting the, can they actually hold off City as opposed to, Can City catch up to Arsenal? Which to me is a little bit of a sticking point. Even when they're talking about how great players are, it seems like in the last 2 weeks we're starting now, ever since the qualifiers for the Euros, now the conversation about Saka has switched to like, wow, he really is great. And look how good he is. As opposed to people like, you know, look at how Arteta has made this guy play. And I like what Nick Redd said. Nick Redd said, great, now we've moved out of the Tottenham hate portion of each Monday's podcast, and now we're in the Arsenal love fest. Well, two different seasons, you know? And also it feels like Arsenal doesn't really get that kind of love most places. I mean, now it's starting to really happen, right? You can talk about it. You're going to have to talk about Arsenal every week of the season, what's left, because they're going to continue to be a story, whether they win or lose, especially when you win in the same fashion. You see City win 4-1, and you think, whoa, they're making inroads. They're hot. Arsenal says, yo, I could do the same damn thing. And that's those are those moments where I look at it and I go, the conversation still hasn't fully shifted to Arsenal being the top dog, quote unquote, and City now being the one that has to play catch up. It's starting to, but it hasn't really shifted yet.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that is just people have accepted City's dominance over the last few seasons, and they have been, right? I don't think we're seeing yet like the lack of competition where you just assume, you know, one single team. It's not Bundesliga of past where it's like, oh, come on, like, we're just watching this for funsies. We know who's going to win.
Have fun, but we all know who's finishing.
Yeah. I think the Prem has always still been pretty competitive. I just think that we're seeing some of, you know, Liverpool specifically have dropped more significantly than they have in the past. And City have been a little bit shakier, which that's good, right? Yeah. Like the competition is still as high as heck.
And part of me wants to believe that maybe the reason, and this is going to be a wild take, but maybe the reason City doesn't win the league this season is because, and I don't want to say it's because of Erling Haaland, but it's the difficulty in playing a system built around Erling Haaland. It hasn't taken as quickly. And I know if you look point for point, it's that Arsenal have been better than City was last season this season. You know what I mean? They're pretty much on the same pace, if you will. But look how good City looked this weekend with Julian Alvarez in there, who can play that Jesus sort of style, that Gabriel Jesus style. And Erling Haaland, maybe it's just too difficult of a leap to suggest Pep can integrate him as quickly into the system.
I think it's a little bit of that, but I think that you have a player like Haaland who is that unique and special, right? It's hard, even if you're not intentionally shaping a squad around them, you still are, because you know what your teammates' strengths are, right? Like, you know how Haaland's going to be checking for you, how he likes balls to be delivered to him, where he's going to be looking for his teammates to be.
Right.
And when you have such a huge deviation when you don't have Haaland, all of the players that maybe are catering to him because that's the smartest move, which it's undeniable, right? They're rising to the occasion too. So you
have
more.
They got to play now.
Right. Like, they now know, you know, it's a very like, you know, why not me moment like, I need to step up and I need to play like I play. And it's, yeah, you're going to deviate from the systems that you do play with Haaland. I think that it's just a matter of, you're not seeing that as evenly displayed because they more often can rely on Haaland, which is great because he's not even human. He's
the guy scores whenever he wants.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And when you have that, but like, again, it ends up being a little bit of a weakness in aspects too.
Cynthia Ohio says Alexis is ready for them Thierry digits, his true trophy. I don't know if you saw, but they asked him, oh, did you guys exchange numbers when we did our last thing with them? And Thierry goes, no, we have not won the league together. You don't get to have my number yet. And I'm like, well, then it looks like I will.
That's the criteria. Okay.
So, you know, look, if any Arsenal players are watching right now, there's a lot riding on this, okay? And I know your careers, your legacy, all that, blah, 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 blah. Really, most important is me getting to chat on a regular basis with Thierry Henry. Imagine Thierry sending me memes, you know? Just crushing a WhatsApp, you know?
What kind of memes do you think Thierry Henry sends?
Probably all about him, you know? Right? I was used in another good one, Alex.
I feel like they're a little bit classier than the typical meme.
Right?
You know what I mean?
All the memes have the pinkies
what
out.
What if he put, like, bow ties on his memes?
Maybe they're
like
in French or something.
Allez.
I have to pretend to laugh because I don't understand what it says. Lex in the chat has quoted you saying how he likes balls delivered to him. Hoopo 2023. As soon as you said it, I said, someone's going to pick up on this one.
They're just going to clip that. They're like, no, we don't care if they've included that in the clips. We're just putting that on the internet.
Travel Football Fan says, Pues Arsenal deserves their moment because they stuck with Arteta. Okay, I thought he was saying it like in the hood way, like, yo, because they are stuck with Arteta. No, they stuck with him, meaning they got it. Okay, so you
they
thought the same thing.
They stayed the course.
Yes, they stuck with him, and they saw through, which is the right
Loyalty.
Move. What's the right move? I call for it every week on the show. I'm on record as saying this is going to be the guy even before he was hired. So I'm with you. I'm with you, Travel Football Fan. Let's talk a little bit about Serie A. Or should we do that? No? Okay. Napoli basically running away with this thing, pulling a Bayern Munich most seasons. Milan, former champions, for those of you who don't follow Serie A, they won last year. Leao coming into this game, bit of a slump, not really doing much.
Bit of a dry spell for him.
You know?
Brace, though.
Bro, if you're ever going to pull it out of the bag, it's against Napoli in the Maradona, in the Diego Armando Maradona Stadium.
It's so disrespectful. It's wonderful.
Bro, CBS sent all their Serie A staff down there for this game because they thought this is the moment. Mm-hmm. You win against Milan, it's a huge moment. Milan said, nah, not yet, bro. Bro, 4-0 against Napoli.
That's another one, edging. Napoli's like, not yet.
Yeah. Napoli, I'm going to keep you waiting, girl. The true question is, does this actually matter?
Napoli. For Napoli, no, I would say no. Right now, they're clear, 16 points? They have 23 wins under their belt, 2 draws, 3 losses. By and far, Lazio are trailing them. And I don't know if Lazio will retain that second slot. I sincerely doubt it. I think we'll actually see Milan and Inter, maybe Roma, who just had a good weekend themselves, start to shimmy up. I wouldn't count Atalanta out yet, but this Napoli-Milan match was such an anomaly, quite frankly. It was fun if you're a Milan fan.
So yeah, Milanisti, if you're a Milan fan, yeah, you
were out there. They had a match that was more reflective of last season's overall overperformance of all of their players than they have of this current season. They just haven't had the depth overall, and just compensating where they can. Salamakers looked amazing. Brahim Diaz, that tiny gentleman.
Yeah.
It's just, assist, goal, perfection. Leao, it's great to see Leao thrive. But every single time that he pops back up on the radar, you start to get, in the same conversation.
How much will he be sold for?
Right.
Yeah.
What about Osimhen? What about, I hate those because I want to obviously selfishly hold on to these players that are absolute diamonds. But, they managed to neutralize Napoli yesterday. Pioli, giant killer, comes in and he'll do it.
He'll do it. And you mentioned Salamakers. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Mm-hmm. The way he cut through that entire, it was all I've heard all season is Kim and his back line and how good Napoli are defending. Bro, it was street cones.
They have... And I would say otherwise, yesterday was such an out of the ordinary experience for every single one of those players because they have one of the best defenses in Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, Kim Min-jae, they all just, it was not it yesterday.
So I'm going to give you my wild take Napoli, okay? And for Milan. Bro, Serie A is struggle plates right now. You know what I mean? They're shutting off the light when they walk out of the room to save some money. You know what I mean? It's Serie A's not thriving. Clubs aren't really thriving. If you're Napoli and you've got Osimhen, possibly Cavada, I know he signed an extension, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. You've got Kim, right? If you're Milan and you've got someone like Leao, bro, you got to sell these players for big money to the Premier League.
No damn way.
So hold on.
You don't have to.
You now have a massive injection, right? Okay, you're going to clip that as well. you have a massive injection of cash now that you could use to go buy the next Leao, to go buy the next Cavada, to go buy the next Osimhen, to go buy the next Kim. Not easy, right? But you're not getting the TV money that these Premier League clubs have. Let them spend big and figure out if Osimhen really is the truth. Let them spend big and figure out if Leao is the guy we saw for the last 5 or 6 matches or is the guy that we saw against Napoli. Let them go figure that out. Let them spend big money to figure that out if it's the truth. And you can go out and get the next group.
counter. I don't think that.
No.
I don't think that the Prem is a proving ground for all players by any means. And I feel like we rid of that notion like, where it's like a player needs money, to though. Go to Premier League to see if they're actually the real deal. Kvara was scouted by Ajax and a whole bunch of other massive clubs that could have scouted and scooped him up easily.
Right.
ADL is a staunch businessman. He usually doesn't do things on the fly. He also is sometimes irrationally and just annoyingly devoid of emotion, which is funny because Calcio is, it's just passionate.
It's the
right?
most, yeah, outside of Argentina or Mexico.
Being able to be the guy that makes business decisions that are purely business decisions because they're smart, like including but not limited to the beginning of the season, asking Koulibaly, who was being heavily courted at the time, to take a pay cut. And yeah. he was like, okay. But that is the way that Napoli, football, Calcio, it's a religion, right? Like there's a loyalty there that is an intangible that you're not going to get in a lot of the Premier League, right?
Right.
And lo and behold, you know, Koulibaly ended up going to Chelsea.
Right. Starting to look better. He's starting to look better, but he had a rough start.
Yeah, which, you know, like it's not always going to be a one-to-one. It's not going to be the greatest. And he got stuck in a club now that's also struggling.
Well, okay. So can I give a counter to what you said?
Go ahead.
Napoli, again, financially struggling. They decide to sell, if I'm not mistaken, it was Dybala, Dries Mertens, and Koulibaly, right?
Mm-mm. So it was Insigne.
Insigne. Insigne goes to Toronto.
Yep, to Toronto.
Right.
With that, Koulibaly went shortly after.
Right.
And then now I'm going brain dead. Who was
Mertens
the other player?
Went to Galatasaray.
Yeah, it wasn't Dries Mertens?
Mertens, maybe.
Yeah, he went to Galatasaray. I don't know.
Was it? Yeah. There
I don't
was
think it was for big money, but they
but
sold.
Napoli are within the grand purview of Serie A clubs that struggle. They're not one of them.
No.
They've been super smart financially.
Right.
Inter, however, peak COVID, were at the risk of potentially going bankrupt.
Yeah.
Juve,
they had to sell Lukaku and then somehow get him back.
All kinds of wildness, right? Like, which now we have, you know, the financial fair play, God the bless. Spectra, all the various investigations and things like that, player transfers that are crossing
but
over
my
with
point,
Barca. But
my point with Napoli is they had these players that people thought, oh, you can't sell Koulibaly. He's too good.
Right.
You can't
I think
sell.
Of the players that they offloaded, Koulibaly was
huge.
The big questionable one, which was like, my God,
are
why
they
would
not
you do
better
that?
Without these players, though?
Yes. But I think that it speaks to their scouting network and their good fortune of being able to pick up somebody like Kim Min-jae, Kvara. Right. Like, these are, I would argue that now this season, they're the ones that are not replaceable players to just like sell off. But they also got them essentially at a steal for what their value actually is.
So then if they have this great scouting network.
Damn
and
it. I don't
want
to be a seller. Like, I
get what you're saying, but I think for the moment being, Napoli can turn into, if they can figure it out again, if they go my route and sell these players for big money, have all of this sudden all this cash. They, again, like you said, they're smart with their money. If they have the scouting network, if they can figure out the next Kim, if they can figure out the next Osimhen, if they can figure out the next Leao, whoever you want, right? If they can figure that out one more time, they now put themselves at the echelon of a Real Madrid within Champions League.
Well, I mean,
League,
they could still very well win Champions League.
That's what I'm saying.
So, and I
but
feel
they
like
could
that's
be like the
where,
constant is what
right.
I'm trying to say.
And we had, I think, a lot of us have different ideas about where we thought we'd fall in terms of Serie A making both a significant appearance in Champions League, but also the potential to win. I was in like the 3 to 5 seasons camp a couple years back, and I didn't think we'd see the presence of like a Napoli right now or a Milan. But also statistically, it's unlikely, despite the fact that you do have, you know, Juve's of the past that were dominant, for a team to repeat season over season and win the Scudetto. So, I mean, one thing at a time, but if Napoli could bang that out this season in a perfect world, heads and shoulders above the rest of the thing.
And obviously you get a good amount of money by winning Champions League. And obviously continue
it's a different,
to be in
you
Champions
become part
League.
Of a different conversation.
For sure.
It's been interesting, though, because to draw a parallel between, you know, whether or not Arsenal are getting the respect that they deserve this season, that's been true, too, of Napoli, who just now we finally have, you know, like English peers and otherwise outside of the Serie A universe that are acknowledging that Napoli are Napoli.
Yeah. It's going to take a Champions League run before people who don't ever watch Serie A to give it the respect it deserves.
For sure.
But I also want to point out Christian Blanco is in the chat.
Hey, let's go.
He says, have a great show. Just busy changing some diapers.
Aww.
Practicing on yourself before the baby. That was my suggestion. Obviously, there's a lot of congratulations in the chat. Absolutely enjoy it, bro. We miss you. Yo, let Mateo be the guest host on one of these shows where you're gone. You'll probably be like, this doesn't make a lot of sense because we're here to take care of the baby. By the way, this is a no stroller zone, so I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how this is going to work. I can't wait to finally meet Mateo. So shout out to Christian Blanco. If you just happen to join us now, I don't know how in the podcast or YouTube world you do that. If you missed the beginning, Christian Blanco had the baby. Mateo, obviously his wife, had the baby. Mateo Aiden Polanco, congratulations. Another round of applause. Bro, you came out, bro. Congrats. Sometimes you just got to go outside, you know? People are mentioning Rebecca saying, Kevincho says, thank you to what you're saying. Rebecca, meaning Rebecca Lowe, saying that Messi was never tested because he didn't play in the Premier League. Sheesh. To some degree, you can kind of say, and now that we know what's going on with potentially, right, allegedly with the refs and whatnot, that might be a case, not because it's not the Premier League, but because he was in La Liga for so long, kind of in that bubble of being a Barca player. Maybe he wasn't tested because you're starting to see now in Ligue 1, which is not as difficult the league as you would say Premier League, right? I think we would hold Premier League higher. We would hold Serie A higher. He's had some struggles. It might be a combination with the rest of his teammates, but the kid has had some struggles. So, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's hard to place that contextually with Messi, right? Like Messi is head and shoulders above entire generations of players. So I don't really think that it would matter whether he be in Premier League or La Liga or otherwise.
Right. He's
still also a rare player that, you know, had that bizarre, 2023 terms, bizarre loyalty to a club. But, you know, like he's going to be a Barca legend and he'll retire one. I'm sure of it.
Why go back?
But I do think, going to PSG, like because he still wanted to play and whatever, like that, it makes sense. I just think that he, within like the GOAT conversation, it wouldn't have been any different if he had deviated and switched up clubs and otherwise. Like he just is a gifted all-around footballer. He's again, like one of those non-human.
Yeah, he is. We will look back and be honest.
We are very lucky to be alive and well to have him playing.
It's not just YouTube highlights. We got to actually see the game. Pedro Nava said, I'm buying Mateo his first Coors Light. Okay. All right. This is good. This is good. This is what we got to do. We got to respect the brands. We got to respect the sponsors, you know? I think when you look at Messi, people were saying he might not be the GOAT. Because he couldn't win in the World Cup. He finally gets over that hump. To go back to Barca and fail at trying to get them that Champions League glory again is just so dumb for your legacy. Get that cash, get that equity, whatever you get, your own club, whatever MLS is willing to give you, go to Miami and coast for once. You are an absolutely revered legend. You won the World Cup. You're the best of the best.
Just like, get yourself a piña colada and sit on the beach in Miami.
Ain't no one going to boo you in America, bro.
It's funny because I think him specifically, right? Like we notoriously, I feel like as a country, don't really necessarily bother footballers like when they're out and about. Like they can walk around and they don't have to worry about crazy
puppets.
Bro, if I
saw Rashford in New York, I'd be like, yo, what up, Rashford?
But that's also you and I.
How's your foot?
But I feel like the general public might actually succumb to like Messi being here. I think that he would still have.
He wouldn't get the Argentina treatment with like, you know, gangs of people outside chanting.
Yes.
But he would get, you know. But he'd spend an extra 20 minutes at every restaurant taking pictures with the staff. You feel me?
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah. I think he would finally do it.
I just thought Mateo already has a DraftKings account. Yeah, man, you got to keep all the sponsors level, bro. In fact, he's probably better at gambling than me, bro. Let him just tap on the iPad, whatever he wants. Freddie Alacon's got a question. Piña colada or Aperol Spritz?
Listen, Cooper. I tried to pick something that I feel like would be more Miami than an Aperol Spritz. For me, Aperol Spritz. Okay, I drink Aperol Spritz and tequila, not together. Usually.
Yeah.
Unless.
Whoa. Same night though?
Listen, I've made a lot of poor decisions in my life. Okay.
Yo, let me tell you something. For those of you who've been friends with Koopa for a long time, if you are cool enough to get in the close friends list, When you see that green bubble light up, she mixing the Aperol Spritz with the tequila, and she got something to say. It's a lot of fun.
It's true, yeah.
I don't use the close friends enough. I got to get back on.
I really use my close friends. It's so.
It's usually an alert that Kupo's partying.
Yeah,
the dog's at home.
I've gone outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The dog's at home, and there is a bar seat that is warm. Pedro Nava says Materva, which I just gave Nico Cantor his first Materva ever. How do you live in Miami and not have a Materva? Have you had a Materva? It's, you know, mate, the drink Italians. It's a sweet cola, like a Coca-Cola kind of thing, made
with
from
mate?
That. Yeah, made from mate.
I would drink that. That sounds delicious.
Really good, yeah.
It's fucking incredible. And let me tell you something. You want to be lit, bro? You think there's caffeine? It's like old Coke with the Coke in it. You know what I mean?
Okay, well.
Yo,
sign me up twice.
You're done drinking it, and you're like, yes! Yo.
I'm like the forbidden pre-workout now then? Okay, Materva.
Bro, the fanboying that would happen in Miami, I think, what's his name, Travel Football Fan, is 100% right. At home, he would be bananas. But like, if he went to like Prime 112, they wouldn't bother him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think, but also, he's in a footballer vacation circuit city.
Yeah.
Right? So
like
Miami,
when he goes to Soho House, there'll be
Las
other
Vegas, LA, New York. Right. Like, yeah. it's more saturated. So it's not like he's just like plunked down in Wisconsin. Yeah. Like, hey, I am Lionel Messi.
Right. Yeah, no, if he was in Sporting Kansas City, it'd be rough. It'd be rough. No offense, Gavincho. Here's the other thing that I think Messi coming to Miami does. It makes Miami more of a European hotbed because now his footballer friends will go there. They'll all post on social media, and all these randos that take vacations, instead of going to Orlando, will go to Miami.
I feel like this is Pogba erasure because Miami is definitely Pogba territory.
Yeah, but he also
he definitely
LA.
Has a residence there.
Does he?
Yeah.
Pogba, bro, you got injured at the wrong time, bro. I believe in you. What you know about that Pache?
Yeah, I feel like Miami is to Pogba what Vegas is to Neymar.
Oof. Okay. Or Neymar's sister's birthday is to Neymar.
The most important day of the year, you mean?
Yeah. I got to get injured, yo. I love my sis. What happens around
Messi
that birthday? We'll never know.
He's in Rzava. That's kind of disrespectful because Messi's Messi, not Zlatan.
FanXY said, oh, Materva, that's good. I've had one with a Cuban Sammy. And Joe Whitlock said, I met Cuban Sammy once. That guy's wild. Again, the buffoonery does not stop on the show. Thank you for everyone. Travel Football Fan says Matuidi was just there too. Bro, I loved Matuidi when he was at PSG. Could not care less that he was at Miami. I was a huge fan. Could not care less.
I was happy about that move for Matuidi too as like former Juve.
50p.
Yeah.
Bro.
Dun, 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 dun.
Got in trouble because of him. Remember, what's his name? The kid
from
Arsenal.
Yeah, they had extra players on their roster because they were like, yeah, you're all gam tam, thank you, ma'am. Whatever, right. We're just making stuff up as we go.
By the way, adding additional DPs when no one was allowed to is allowed in Blangola.
This is also a great part of this conversation as DP for today.
Yeah, yeah. DP,
it definitely
do with that
means
what you
designated
will.
Player. Designated player.
For those of you in the chat.
Designated player. I promise you that's what it means.
Remember when DraftKings was like, could
definitely
you guys not
don't
swear
Google
as
DP.
Much?
Yeah.
They did ask. They did ask.
They did. But. Well, we tried.
We made it for most of the show. It was just the last 5 minutes.
I did say heck.
You did. We got it. We're good.
Cuban Samly is definitely a DJ on the weekends. 100%. Works at a vape shop, without a doubt. Whoa, catching strays. That's Ronaldo City you're talking about. That's right, Cristiano Ronaldo. How'd he come to MLS? Sporting Kansas City would have had his rights.
Yeah,
and
that
would
was
have immediately changed.
I
the
love
rules.
The discovery rights rules for MLS all
so
in
dumb.
Because, quite frankly, I would just have every single big name player. I'd just be like, boom, bam, bow.
Yeah.
As soon as I show up in the front office, like, I saw them first.
People are saying Rated X episode. We didn't say nothing. You thought of it.
You guys are just dirty.
Yeah.
Not us.
Lex says Zava is Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I mean, in the most obvious way possible.
Yes.
Even
although,
the celebration.
Zava has not called anybody Kevin yet.
That's
and that's still, of all of the Zlatan things to ever Zlatan, I love him, by the way. Like, he can't do anything.
He is
wrong.
The press conference goat.
He is. Yeah. He is always ever so interesting, but like, nothing's going to ever beat Kevin.
Who was he disrespecting with that?
Wasn't it Kitchen?
Yeah, yeah, Perry Kitchen. He kept calling him Kevin. He said, "My name's not.
I'm Perry.
My name's not Kevin.
You're okay, Kevin."
He's like, "Okay,
which
Kevin."
Which is just classic it's art. It's performance art.
You know, he was like, "I played in Europe too. I was in Scotland." He's like, "Yeah, tell me more, Kevin." yeah, it's very obviously slot time. Even the bicycle kick, the long kick, all these things. They're very even the celebrating was a lot of it is the LA Galaxy reign.
The Higuain brothers. Yeah, I no joke. Gonzalo Higuain used to come to Columbus to hang with Federico, and nobody bothered him. I love that. Honestly, I adore both of them. Did miss Gonzalo when he left Juve, but
Crimson Pizza says Blangolan allocation money. Okay, now we have again. That's allowed, bro. You get as much as I say you get. Cuban Sammy is best friends, his BFF with Mike Ryan. Shouts to Mike Ryan Ruiz. Shouts to everyone. Lepetard in the chat said villain talk time, Villa talk time, big or villain talk time, big win for Villa. Yeah, we gave a little respect to Aston
Villa.
We did Villa.
That a little bit as Potter got and that's fired all you get. Because of him.
Yeah. And that's all you get, bro.
We're just going to put it down as Aston Villa get Potter fired.
Yeah.
That's a good headline.
Can I tell you, can I reveal something for the first, 8 years that I followed the Premier League, I thought Ham and West Ham was short for something. I'm like, they can't just be Ham, right?
I know no you're idea. A comedian by trade, yeah. But like that's definitely one of the funniest things. That's like matter-of-factly came out.
When I looked at the sheep herder and I said, "Wait, lambs and sheep are the same animal?" That's the same way he looked at me as Kupo just looked at me now.
Like, did you expect their badge to just be like a ham?
Yeah, but I'm like, how you go? You can't be West. There's another ham out there. It's got to be like West Hampshire, right?
Yeah,
clearly,
Hammersmith or something.
Yeah, it can't just be ham. Ham is sure for something. It's got to be
Hammy Hampshire.
Freddie Alacone says you're right. It's West Hamgola.
It's short for hamster.
Is it West Hamilton?
No, I don't think
it's short for hamster. There's got to be West Ham ain't just ham. It can't be.
Oh, my God. We've got just miscellaneous Ted Lasso comments in there.
Yeah, no, it says just West Ham.
It can't just. Well, pull up the Wikipedia because I just pulled this up.
I'm looking it through. I don't see any.
West Hamfordshire Hams.
Yeah, I don't see any longer, names.
West Ham United Football Club. Oh, wait a minute. A town in eastern London in the borough of Newham. Newham.
Oh.
So it's Newham. West Newham.
Okay.
Bro.
The more you know, bro. We're teaching West people out here.
Newham.
West Newham.
It's the Newham.
Yeah, but so stupid they go with hammers.
Is what? It though? I mean, it's kind of cool.
West New United.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The alternative.
West Newted.
There's too many Uniteds, bro. Yeah, whatchamacallit, look, guys, this has been an absolute fun time. We figured out how all this works, okay? Kupo, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Polanco, who once again disrespects the show by going
it's
out.
It's really hard to be substitute Christian. Probably more challenging than being substitute Alexis.
Yeah, but like a true substitute, you were cool than the really hard, strict teacher we had here before.
I tried my best.
He's always like, enough with the sex jokes, and you can't say that, and yada, yada, yada. And Koopa was like, yeah. No.
I'm like, listen, we can
deliver
go,
balls to him.
We can go like Harvard Business Review, but like make it a little bit dirty. That's kind of my personality.
Perfect. Thank you once again, Miguel, Mike, bro. This was not easy. Hey. Next week, we will not be live, by the way. We pre-recorded some episodes that'll go out next week. Two great interviews. We've got Bethany Balser coming up on Tuesday. Ian Edwards on Monday. Two incredible interviews. I was only there for one of them, so you won't hear me too much. We did an intro and outro on Monday, but you'll get to hear those. That's also when the CBS show launches. So we're fully taking the week off. Obviously, you'll still get content, but we will not be live. And I will be hopefully, I don't know, enjoying myself or be handed a lot of notes.
Both.
Yeah. No one on CBS knows what Blangola is, Alexis. Stop mentioning it as your favorite national team. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot going on. But hopefully you guys enjoy that. If you don't know, we launch on Tuesday, not Monday. We launch on Tuesday the 11th on CBS, 7 to 9 a.m. I want to say Eastern, but I think it's going to play at 7 to 9. AM in all of your area, time zones. every
he needs
area
a nap,
code.
He's fine. Yeah. Go Golazo Network.
I'm doing just fine. Shouts to Golazo Network. So that's going to be a blast. Hopefully you guys check that out. Let me know what you think. Because Alexis will be live on TV. That's right, Robin Seguini. Thank you very much. But I am done at 9, and I should be able to get back to the studio most days in time to do the show. But also, we are adding something really cool and really new. DraftKings has this really cool thing coming out. Hasn't been launched yet, no? So I will not talk about it. But it's going to be dope, and that might change the show just a tiny, tiny bit. But we will announce that as we go along. But there's a lot of really cool things happening. Christian having a baby. This show might change a little tiny bit. I'm going to be live on TV. I'm waking up at 3 a.m. now. Life's crazy, bro. I yawned before, and it was noon. It's not a time to yawn. So there's a lot going on. So thank you so much for sticking with us. Tomorrow, we will have another show that we will not be live tomorrow. We have a pre-recorded show that's going out tomorrow as well, because I will be in rehearsals all day. But thank you so much for hanging out with us. Christine, thank you so much. You'll be back with us, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Very nice.
I did agree.
You can't go back on that
now.
Yes. Christine will be back in 2 weeks. We will, of course, you'll keep getting content from us. Enjoy the rest of your week if you don't listen to tomorrow's show. Absolutely love you guys. Thank you so much, Christine.
So happy to be here.
Love you guys. Bye.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.